On this, a very special episode of DC On Screen, I am joined by my friend Matthew Carroll of the Stranded Panda Network as we geek out about the trailers, DC Fandome. Jason and I will be back Tuesday or Wednesday with an in-depth discussion about Fandome, these trailers, and whatever else drops between now and then. So enjoy right after these messages from the people who pimp all the things. Every single thing pimped by these people. Welcome into DC On Screen. This is the podcast where we talk about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television, give honest opinions on projects upcoming and past, and believe that every version of a property is valid, even if we really don't want it to be. If it's been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers, and welcome to the show. I'm David C. Robertson, and tonight I am joined by Matthew Carroll of Stranded Panda, Marvel Cinematic Universe, and Star Trek Universe podcast, among others. We thought it would be fun to get this to get his first Fandome trailer reactions, because guys, you know Jason and me are gonna be like totes here for all this shit. Like we've been watching this thing since like noon today, and over in our Discord channel, just like geeking the shit out, just like happy as hell. But yeah, Jason and I will be doing a proper rundown of everything in Fandome, including trailers. And we'll be recording that on Monday night, just so you know. But Matt, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. And I'm going to be honest with you. My getting on the show was a little bit of a deception.
Was it a deception?
Yeah, I wrote you to be like, hey, man, when are y'all talking about Fandome? And you were like, probably in a couple days. And I was like, but I need to know what's going on in Fandome. Can you just get on a podcast with me and act like I don't know anything, because that's the truth, and just like tell me what's happening in Fandome? So yeah, I mean, sure, we're going to give our fun reactions to some trailers, because I've never seen any of them, and I'm going to be the guy who doesn't know that much about DC, but really it was because I wanted your news episode sooner. And I was just like, can I just be on it right now? Can we just do it right now?
Well, I mean, I'm going to honestly have to get, you know, do a little more research, because there was so much stuff that happened today. I didn't retain it all. Like some of the stuff that happened aside from the trailers, I'm just like, I don't know. I can't remember now. But yeah, there's just so much stuff going on with DC right now. And, it's a lot of exciting stuff. There's like stuff I didn't send you, like stuff with Andy Muschietti, I think his name is. He did the It movies, you know.
Wow. What's he doing for him?
He's doing the Flash.
What? What Flash? Like the same Ezra movie Miller. Flash? Ezra Miller.
He's doing Ezra. Okay, Ezra Miller.
Right.
All right. Michael Keaton.
Yes.
As
okay, I heard
Burton
that.
Versus Bruce Wayne.
So
and Batman.
This is that version of the Flash he's doing. I thought they already had a director, but I know they've gone through a few or whatever.
Well, it's been Andy for several months now.
Okay.
Like several months. Like,
I love his It movies are awesome.
They've got, they released concept art for the new Flash costume. And one of the pieces has Burton's Batman standing next to Ezra.
Dude, I've not been so excited for this stuff in a long time. Like, I just freaking like having Burton's Batman come back, return after so many years. I mean, you know, it's as if freaking Keaton has been playing around the edges of wanting to come back to Batman. He literally did a movie called Birdman, and then he played Vulture. He's like just into playing winged superheroes. Like, can I do it again? Can I do it again, DC? Look, this is me showing you my chops at playing winged heroes.
And look, like 2 days ago, they dropped the news that Ben Affleck was coming back in the same movie.
Ah, it's so freaking cool.
Yeah. So we're having two Batman.
Yeah.
In the same movie.
Multiverse as hell.
Yeah. Multiverse as hell. Yeah. We're very excited about it. On this show, our tagline has now become, give me all the things. I want all the things.
Yeah. This is freaking awesome, man. I love this direction for DC. Like, they're doing it seems like they're letting the artists make the thing they want to make a little more.
Yes.
It's like the They're just the multiverse idea of just making all the different kinds of Batman and all the different kinds of DC stories, mm-hmm. allowing them all to exist. Do you know anything about the Sandman series?
I know that. I mean, yeah, there was a whole panel about it today where.
Okay. I didn't even know that existed. I've been listening to the Sandman audiobook because mm-hmm. We're covering the Sandman audiobook over on MCU Cast. Because that makes sense. No, it's a long story, but I always wanted to read it, and then it came out on audiobook, and that's how I read things. So,
well, it's not so much an audiobook as it's like a full on production.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. No, it has some awesome people in it. So I was like, I'm totally on board for it. So we're doing that over on Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, and but then as I was just like reading about Sandman, I saw that today that they're doing a Sandman series. I didn't even know that was happening. And that's awesome.
Yeah, that's Netflix. And the difference is going to be that, you know, they're doing the Audible series as a straight adaptation of the comics.
Yes.
That take place between, you know, the 80s and like 1991 or whatever. And the Netflix series takes place as if, like, what would Sandman look like if we had done it in, you know, 2020?
Well, the thing that blew my mind about the Sandman series that I've never known, and we're getting way off topic. I know we need to get these trailers, but the thing that blew my mind about the Sandman series was that, like, I know this is stupid, but I had no idea. I knew it was in the DC universe. I had no idea how much it would interact with the DC universe.
Oh, absolutely. Like, at some point after Lucifer abdicates the throne, Superman is there.
Right.
Like, he's lording over hell. Like,
yes. So, I haven't gotten that far. Thanks for the spoilers. But no, like...
I believe that's in Lucifer, actually. But.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They do. He does meet Lucifer, and he was... I'm sure it's not, but it, like, almost sounded like the Lucifer from the TV show. Like, the way he, like, produced his voice and everything.
You know, it's Michael Sheen, who was in...
playing Lucifer?
Masters...
Or...
Yeah, Michael Sheen is playing him in the Audible series.
Oh, he's playing Lucifer. I thought he was playing someone else in the Audible series. I thought he was playing the narrator, maybe? Or some. Okay, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure you're right, because you know things more than I know things.
He was on the panel today.
Okay.
too, but yeah. He was just, I think he was Aziraphale. In Good Omens.
Oh, no, when Neil you say Gaiman, he's playing on the series, in the series, the TV series, he's playing him.
He's Aziraphale in Good Omens, the TV series.
Yes.
Lucifer in the Audible Sandman.
That's what I thought you were saying. But then for a second, I thought you were saying in the new series. And I was like, is he playing in both versions of Sandman? Is he trying to pull a David Tennant and play the same character in two different versions of a thing? Have you seen that where David Tennant played that detective that show? What was that show?
Grace Point. It started off in
America.
Broad Church
in England. And it's just the same character. That's so weird.
Sort of the same character, yeah. But you know what? He pulled it off.
I have not seen Grace Church, whatever. Okay, so the plan here is to watch these trailers, and you're making me talk about stuff, which you know
it's okay.
You know I'll get suckered into doing.
Everybody knows that's what you do when you're listening to DC on screen. We chase them squirrels, buddy.
That's what we do.
We chase them damn squirrels.
I'm happy to be here to chase squirrels with you.
Squirrely chasing.
Some bat wieners and such.
We haven't used that in a long time.
See, I'm a deep cut man. I'm a deep cut DC on screen fan.
Just because it was the last time you listened doesn't mean that you're a deep cut fan.
I'm a deep cut man.
Yeah, well, real deep cut fans remember that bat wieners is only one part of it. It's bat wieners and flipper hands.
Yes, I do remember. I just was too embarrassed to say it. Okay, so are we going to watch this trailer? You wanted to start with Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah, Wonder Woman 1984.
What trailers are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about Wonder Woman 1984, the Suicide Squad cast reveal trailer, the Suicide Squad DC fandom exclusive sneak peek that includes some behind the scenes interviews and some footage, and including some what appears to be very, very finished special effects. Zack Snyder's Justice League trailer for HBO Max.
Awesome.
And the Batman first teaser.
Okay.
Sweet. As well as Batman Gotham Knights, which is the sequel to Arkham Knight, the video game.
What?
Yeah.
What's it called? I missed the words.
Batman Gotham Knights.
Oh, dude. Why are you telling me about this on air? I'm going to cry. Like I could cry. I know I will spend like 40 hours, 50 hours playing that game.
And a trailer for yet another Arkham Universe game, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League.
Oh, I knew they were talking about doing a Suicide Squad, and I was hoping it would be in the Arkham Universe. Oh, man. And they've got trailers for these things?
Yes.
Okay, let's get started, because I was really excited about the movies, and I know that, like, I think you told me, you were like, yeah, we'll do the games at the end, and I didn't realize you were, like, teasing me with the carrot on the stick, because you know how much I freaking love the Arkham games. Now you've given me a reason to go play all four of them again.
Yeah.
Because I will do Five. Origins. I will. Wait, well, counting VR, yeah.
No, like, There's Arkham Asylum, uh-huh. Arkham City, Arkham Knight.
Arkham Origins.
There is Arkham Origins. That's four.
Arkham VR. Then the
VR is five. There are mobile games.
Oh, sure.
That are set in the same universe.
I don't count those. I didn't even really count the Arkham VR, although I really enjoyed the Arkham VR, but I kind of don't think it... I don't call it in the same universe because of the ending. I think it's a what-if story.
It might be a what if story.
Now, if they bring out this new one and suddenly we find out that actually happened, then yeah, sure.
I mean, I don't know. I don't remember what you're specifically talking about.
Should I spoil it? I know you guys' policy. Oh,
we don't care. It's been years. It's been years.
Spoiling Arkham VR, it ends with Batman murdering Robin or Nightwing.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, what?
Well. I'll let you be the judge of this one then, when you watch the trailer.
Okay, sounds good. Let's get well. Okay, that's the end of this whole podcast, and we were trying to keep it at 20 minutes, but I think we're already there. So let's just keep moving.
Yeah, man. Let's look at this Wonder Woman 1984.
Let's do it. Oh, Chris Pine. So lovely, Chris Pine. Oh, I guess Dave's not back yet. So this is me feeling like I'm going to have to reread my reaction because, you know, Dave's not here yet.
I'm back.
Oh, there he is. As I was saying, laugh heartily, oh my, Chris Pine. Does such a good delivery there at the end. Does everyone do?
Yeah.
Does everyone parachute now?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I my favorite bit from him in there was like, oh yeah, when she's like, oh, I forgot radar. He's like, what are they shooting at us? Yeah. That.
Yeah. That. Well, was that I thought that was going to be an invisible plane reference.
Right? Yeah, most people did. Most people did.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not, I guess. Okay. So we got Tigress. Is that who that is? The
Cheetah.
Cheetah. Okay. Cheetah.
Mm-hmm.
And
Barbara Minerva. Yeah.
Okay. Barbara Minerva. And then, mm-hmm. But now is that not the same character that's being played by Kristen Wiig, right?
Or is that it? Is. Yeah.
Oh, that was Kristen Wiig because it showed after her cheetah. She gallops at her as a cheetah. Then it showed her again as Golden mm-hmm. Woman, so I don't know if she goes back and forth or if that's just out of time in the trailer. Man, that definitely looks cool, man. I really, really pumped. And they sold me from the very beginning by showing young Diana again, like child Diana.
Yeah.
That was the part of the first movie that like really, really sold me. Like I was crying in the first 15 minutes because, I don't know, the whole meta thing of like a lot of girls watching the first big budget female superhero movie and a lot of young, and then the meta nature of her watching the adult Athenians like fighting in the fields and her wanting to be like them. I was like, oh, they're that's what this is. That got me. It got me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's opening on that again was, I think, like a great call for this trailer. Got me right in the headspace of like rooting for Diana real hard.
Yeah. And they've been walking an interesting tightrope because this movie should have already been out. It was supposed to have been out, I think, in November of last year or October of last year. And then it got pushed back and they wanted to. No, I mean, it was already done. It was just, you know, scheduling conflicts. So they were just like, you know what? It's going to be better in, you know, the original, what was the release date for the first one. So we're going to move it to June. And then COVID happened and it got pushed to August. And then they're like, this isn't wrapping up. So it got pushed again. So, you know,
I'm fully aware of that experience. Yeah. With Black Widow and our Falcon Winter Soldier, all that stuff we've been dealing with on the MCU cast.
So, you know, we're in the COVID pocket universe where everything went awry, but in the prime timeline, it's been released for several months.
Wow. That's cool. How was it?
I didn't get to be in that timeline, unfortunately.
Dang. I was hoping you'd
damn it, Barry.
I'd hoping you'd travel to the quantum realm.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, DC, you're right. I'm Flash. Dang it, Barry.
That's right. I mean, hey, this Speed Force, Quantum Realm, it's the same, whatever.
Sorry, forgot what podcast I was on. Dang.
I'm no Dr. Manhattan. Bringing it back to DC.
Kinda? Yeah, I'm cheesing. Oh, man. Okay. Well, so what other big reactions do you have to that trailer? I think it looks fun. It's badass. The fighting looks awesome. Yeah. Her flying through the air. The first time I saw it, I thought it looked kind of silly, her riding lightning or whatever. But like this time it kind of sold me. Like they showed a little more of it. And yeah, looks awesome, man.
Yeah, it's silly. And then you're like, you're a little bit like, how is that going to work? And then you go like, oh, wait. Or maybe a voice in your head goes, Dave, she's a god.
Right.
Where does your suspension of disbelief break off, you know? Like, her father is literally Zeus. You don't think she could ride lightning?
Right. Where's your suspension of disbelief, Dave? You're already believing in God for this. I mean...
Oh, man.
Next trailer?
Sure, but I'll say this. I love Chris Pine. I love everything that he's involved with here. I do suspect that, he's back, he's back because of whatever Maxwell Lord is doing, and I'm assuming that's because of whatever. Barbara Minerva is an archaeologist, and I assume she finds some sort of artifact that is allowing him, some magical artifact that is allowing him to grant desires to people. And I assume when she has to stop him at the end of this thing, she will lose Steve as well, and we'll have to go through all of that again.
Really? You think she'll lose Steve again? You think they'll play that card twice?
I mean, she wasn't exactly happy in Batman v Superman, was she?
No, that's fair. Well, but this is 84, so like she could be with him for 40 years.
She might be.
He could be just an old man who let her move on because he's like realizes and he's not going to be
true.
Just like at the beginning of this, he says, "You haven't changed a bit, and it's been this long." Maybe at the end of the story, he realizes, like, you're a god, and I could never be with you because I will grow old and die, and you will stay this forever, and I can't be a part of this fight forever. Like, maybe he's tired of fighting. He's already died once, you know?
Yeah, maybe. You make a solid point. He might actually be around
for a while. Because he's probably 40, or, I don't know, Chris Pine's 40, probably. And then you add 40 years to that, like, definitely by 2020, he could be dead and... dead and buried.
Yeah, you're right.
Even if he lived a natural old age. All right, so what's the next trailer?
The Suicide Squad official cast reveal, if you're down for it.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right.
Oh, man. Okay, so this is just the character announcement trailer. This is not a trailer. This is just what characters are going to be in the movie and who plays them.
Yeah, we've known for a long time who was in it, and there's been a lot of conjecture about the roles they'll play. And at some point, James Gunn released like just a picture with all the cast members' names on it and then just said, "Don't get attached."
I also, just from the very beginning, the one thing they do include in this trailer is the voice of Amanda Waller saying, "You know the deal." Sorry, my roommate walked in. "You know the deal. You know the deal. Complete the mission, get 10 years off your sentence," which I thought is I just like that as a rule. Like, that gives me a rule to attach to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like rules. I like that sort of thing. Like, and just the bombs on your neck seemed kind of brutal. And I'm not saying they won't have to do that again, but like,
Oh, they'll absolutely do it.
Sure, for sure. But like at the same time, that gives them a positive. It gives them a carrot as well as a stick. You know what I mean? And I like that.
Right.
And I like the idea of them being like, you know, I got a 100-year sentence, 10 missions. You know, that's just a cool. And it seems like almost like you could this. The Suicide Squad could have continued on since the last movie and had been doing missions and mission upon mission, and this could just be picking back up, you know? Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm digging it, man. So let's get into these. Who are you most excited for?
Well, I am really excited about Harley, obviously, but I think the person I'm most excited about, hands down, is Peter Capaldi as Thinker.
Oh, me too. I'm very excited about Peter Capaldi. That's good.
Thinker was a villain that I didn't really know very well from the comics. Really liked the Flash TV series version of the Thinker, and you know, I was just trying to figure out, like, everybody was racking their brains trying to figure out, you know, who Capaldi would be playing. And then there were like some leaks came out and he was bald, and we're like, who the hell is bald? because, you know, this thing about James Gunn is he's an old John Ostrander fan. So he likes a lot of the old, like, deep cut villains. So, and I mean deep cut, like, there are a few of them I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's Polka Dot Man is one of them.
Oh, I do know Polka Dot.
I do not. Polka Dot Man. Just things I'm excited about. Michael Rooker, anytime working with James Gunn. Let me just first say, the thing I'm most excited about with this entire thing is the James Gunn of it all. My favorite Marvel movie, and I'm the guy who does the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, my favorite Marvel movie mm-hmm. is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And so him tackling this movie has made me so freaking pumped. It made me sad for Marvel. They had to push Guardians a year or two. But like,
yeah.
Man, I am so excited for him to like put Suicide Squad on a path. You know, I'm just really, really pumped about this movie. I think it's exactly up his alley to take villains. I mean, the Guardians are very similar. The way that he presented them, the Guardians are very similar to this sort of a thing, like a bunch of scumbags mm-hmm. coming together and completing the good mission, you know?
Yeah. So I'll so be interested to see what you think of this, of the next trailer, because it is like a little more of what we can expect. And yeah. Part of me thinks it's going to be very much Guardians of the Galaxy. And then another part of me says it's going to be pretty different. So, but yeah, I'm very interested to see Peter Capaldi. I'm very excited to see him.
Idris Elba,
I'm very excited to see. I'm very excited to see King Shark, because he seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed just the fact that they did King Shark on The Flash was fun. And so, like, you know, and giving that to James Gunn. Again, pretty much anything in James Gunn's hands, after what he's done with Guardians, I am so on board with almost anything he wants to do. And I like his other movies, too. Like, I've liked James Gunn's stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, just basically anything he wants to do, I'm down for. And so right. This movie feels like DC is letting him be as wacky as he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here for it, man. And of course, another one of my favorites, Nathan Fillion, is in this movie.
Yeah. I don't know that character. I don't know TDK.
I have no idea who TDK is.
And apparently neither does Google.
Wait, I wonder if this is a deep cut thing, like TDK stands for something and we can try to find it. I bet that's what James Gunn is doing. James Gunn loves that shit. Like, he loves. Yeah. Have you seen the theory about Guardians of the Galaxy 1 that no one's found yet?
Yeah.
Do you know about that thing? Oh, it's insane. Apparently every time there's a new place in Guardians of the Galaxy, it gives it coordinates. And if you dig mm-hmm. into the coordinates, they're a puzzle that you can solve and find out some sort of deep cut Easter egg that still no one has solved fully. He did tell one guy he got it 80% right. And so, like, the internet still hasn't figured it out. It's like 6 years later. Crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy that no one knows still.
Right.
That's like Ready Player One.
Right? Oh, James Gunn is that guy from Ready Player One. I like it.
Yeah.
So that's stuff I'm most excited about. And you know, like I said, this trailer doesn't give us much in the way of what it's actually going to be like. It just gives us who is in it, basically. And yeah, totally on board for it. I like Pete Davidson. I like him. John Cena's been good and stuff too.
Yeah, and I like who John Cena is going for. Like, and they'll explain it a little bit in this other trailer, but I like the idea. I like the character of Peacemaker. I think he fits that role well. So
yeah,
and Mongal looks great. Everybody looks great. I'm really interested in this Weasel character. I'm not really familiar with him.
I like Sean Gunn though.
Sean Gunn, yeah. I don't like Pete Davidson.
Oh yeah,
I just don't.
I get that.
I
think he's really naturally funny. I think he's a little overhyped because of his like his personal life and like dating Ariana Grande and all that stuff. Like, I think it like kind of overhyped him a little bit. But if you just
watch his latest stand-up special was not funny.
Oh, I haven't seen his recent stand-up special. Ugh. But if you just watch him in movies and on SNL, like he's a funny actor. And pretty much anyone I see, if James Gunn wants them in his movie, I know two things. Like, I know he sees something in them, and I know that James Gunn will use them to the best of their abilities.
Did you recognize the actor playing Polka Dot Man, though?
No. Who was that?
He is one of Paul Rudd's crew in the Ant-Man movies.
Oh, I did recognize him now that you say that. Yeah, like, I know exactly who the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, but that character had the polka dots on his costume. He can pull off two different effects. Like, he can, like, pull a polka dot off and it grows in size and he like rides it around like a goblin glider.
That's
some of
silly.
Them teleport him.
That's so silly.
Some of them are some of them are explosives. some of them are like can be used as a flare. Some of them are like, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
That sounds awesome.
Some of them are like razor sharp. Yep.
That's freaking awesome. Well, so the next trailer we're gonna watch is the Suicide Squad, the like actual trailer, right?
It's not really a trailer. It's sort of a sneak peek because, you know.
Yeah, it's sneak peek. Still early. You want to get on that one?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. Wow.
Right?
Yeah, it's exactly what I was saying a minute ago. Like, James Gunn, it looks like DC let James Gunn be as James Gunn as he wanted to be.
Yeah. Which, you know, Warner Brothers had that reputation for a long time with everything that wasn't a comic book movie. For everything that wasn't a DC movie, I should say, really. They had that reputation of, like, the auteurs get to do what they want. And then, but when, you know, comic book movies happened, I mean, it's outside of Chris Nolan, they were just like, hands of the cookie jar. And let's keep undercutting everybody. So, but, you know, now Walter Hamada, God bless them. it's just like, you know what? And it was funny because they were doing like a whole multiverse panel earlier, like introducing the multiverse. I think it was called Multiverse 101. And he was just like, you know, we're going to have movies that don't fit into the canon. And those are Elseworlds. Those are different universes. We're not going to just throw them out like one a year or anything. We're not going to force it. But, you know, if somebody, you know, an auteur or somebody comes to us with a really good idea, and we develop it and it looks good and we like where they're going with it, why not? And I love that concept. I like that Walter Hamada is not afraid, especially after Joker, of doing an R-rated superhero movie. And man, the Suicide Squad looks like a lot of fun. If like I just watched King Shark put a guy's head and upper torso in his mouth,
and I don't know, yeah. So this thing we watched is a featurette more than a trailer, and it's like shows a lot of behind the scenes footage, shows them making the movie, but also shows a number of clips that seem like they're directly from the movie, and yeah, it just looks super fun and imaginative. And the guy said it in the featurette that it's like a 70s war movie mixed with a superhero movie.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of, if you think you know where it's going, you have no idea where it's going. Like, which, that is James Gunn's, like, MO. Not so much in the Guardians movies. I think in the Guardians movies, he's playing it a little safer from a plot perspective. But James Gunn likes to be really weird with the way that he plots things out and like make decisions that take things off the beaten path. And this looks like he just like was able to do that and just they let him run with it. And I'm here for it, man. 100% here for it.
Yeah. I'm down with it. This whole thing just looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited that if you hated the first one,
I did.
Yeah. Hey, I enjoyed it for what it was. I had fun with it. I hope that Ayer gets to have his cut released because I hear it's drastically different. Yeah.
Surely they're going to learn their lesson after all these cuts come out and everyone's like, oh, the other cut is better. It's just like, just freaking learn your lesson, DC.
They may have already learned that lesson.
I think in the last few movies, they've really, really hit their stride and I'm loving what they're doing. I loved Birds of Prey. I freaking loved, I liked Aquaman a whole lot. I really liked for what it was. It fit perfectly for what it was doing. And I liked Wonder Woman a lot. So like, it just seems like they're really hitting a stride.
Yeah, I absolutely hope that's the case. And it does feel like that. It feels like, me and Jason and Scott and Tim over at the Suicide Squad cast or DC Film Squad cast now. I keep forgetting. Ray over at Fans Without Board. We've all been talking about how this feels like 2016 again. Like pre-BVS, like we're all excited. It feels like our numbers have been going up. People have been coming back a little bit. Old faces we haven't seen in a long time have been coming back and being like, hey guys, what's up?
Yeah.
I'm excited again because stuff is happening.
Dude, for sure. And DC, this DC fandom thing, like it's got me. There's a reason I called you today to talk about this stuff. I was like, I really want to know what's going on.
And as it is, we can't have a conversation now unless it's recorded.
Yeah, for sure. No,
we haven't.
We weren't going to just watch these and not talk about them on recording. Yeah, it's like, we're
actually legally bound. We have a contract here. Yeah.
It's this Stranded Panda soul contract that I make everyone sign when they join the network. Don't have conversations except they're recorded. Everyone, when they're not being recorded, is just like a silent husk of a human being. That's why you started a podcast with your wife, so you could finally speak to her again.
I missed her. The thing that's confusing to me, though, is like I thought, you had been like, hey, Stranded Panda. And I was like, maybe. And then the next thing I knew is like I had a contract and somehow you had my signature in my own blood.
Yeah, man.
And I was like, it was weird. I was like, how did you get me to sign that? I'm like, okay, you know what? You have your ways.
I have my ways. And I have my ways.
Player got to play. Got to respect a player.
Player got to play. All right. So what's this next trailer? I mean, we've gone far afield from this wonderful Suicide Squad featurette. So the next thing is our Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League. HBO Max. Yeah, I'm very excited about this too. Let's watch. Yeah. Wow. That looks definitely way more imaginative and cohesive than the Justice League that I've seen, you know?
Right.
It's amazing that's a 2.5 minute trailer and it's all quick shot vignettes. And I don't think I've seen any of them before.
That's right. And well, some of them, it's an interesting little, array of things that we've seen pieces of in the first trailer that Zach released way before everything blew up. And stuff that we knew he shot that the fans who follow him on Vero, we've seen little black and white photos that he posts, or he was posting. And we as Zack Snyder enthusiasts and people who, even those who didn't necessarily agree with everything he did, but just wanted to see, by God, his vision realized, just to judge it for ourselves.
Yeah.
And those of us who felt like he was done wrong, by Warner Brothers. But, we wanted to see those. We became aware of certain scenes that were supposed to be in the movie. Like the death of Cyborg's father, which he just shows us in the freaking trailer.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Justice League, as they call it. So,
right.
This thing is going to be 4 hours long.
Yeah. It's 4 hours long on four different nights. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
It's 4 hours long.
I'm kind of just give me it as a movie kind of guy.
He basically, one of the ways he was able to pitch it to HBO Max, to really get really rally them for it was to say, dude, it's an hour an episode. Let's do four episodes. And it would drive subscriber sales. And he did say they're going to put it into a full movie format.
Right.
And, which make sure that it gets out internationally and everything.
Problem is, I know I can't wait, and I'm going to end up watching it out week by, or you know, night by night. But even though a better experience might be to watch it all is a big thing. I don't know. It depends on how they cut it, and maybe he has it scripted out where it's like there's just a perfect set of four episodes. Which that's this could be the highest budget TV show ever made.
know? Yeah. And I just love the music choice. I love that song by Cohen.
Love the original Leonard Cohen. Hallelujah. Yeah, and it's neat.
I don't know if you remember what the opening song for Justice League was. I'm pretty sure that was a Zach choice. What during stuff that he actually shot was that there's another Leonard Cohen song. Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Neat.
And just the fact that it's Hallelujah, and like that's the way we all feel that this thing is actually getting an official trailer on an official platform. And what did you think of the aspect ratio? Because we haven't talked about that.
I think it's cool.
Me and Jason have.
I think it's cool. I know it's being shot for IMAX, or this is like originally
full IMAX,
which I mean, they're releasing it on HBO Max that way as well.
Yeah, they're restoring. I'm sure that he's going to like have some IMAX showings.
Right. Sure.
But yeah, that's yeah. He's restoring it.
I don't
period,
know how I feel about it because of how it will play on my TV, which will be like a much smaller experience because it'll have the big black boxes on the sides. But you know, I'm used to that from years of watching widescreen stuff on my full screen TV growing up. So I don't think it'll be a big issue for me. But
yeah, I'm personally a little conflicted about it for my own personal tastes.
Right.
As far as like my viewing experience, but at the same time, I feel like, dude, just give the man what he wants.
Yeah, just give him what he wants. Like, I'm fine. I'm totally fine with that.
Like all the bullshit he's dealt with everybody and just all the personal tragedy he's gone. Just give him the shit. Just let him make his thing.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. So yeah, this looks awesome. I'm down. Now, the wrinkle for me, I'm a continuity guy. You know this. I love my deep continuity, or as we say on MCU Cast, my deep, hot, wet continuity.
Right.
But is this going to be the official version going forward? Like, will they depend on how it does? Are they going to wait to see how everybody goes, oh, this is the actual thing? And then is there a possibility they'll make the third one? You know what I'm saying?
There is a... I mean, yeah, there's a possibility, and I can't imagine that they won't make the rest of it, because Zach had like a 5-picture plan.
Okay, well, so and this would be this was the third, right?
Yeah,
because I can't imagine we see Darkseid in this trailer, I can't imagine he defeats Darkseid in this movie, because the big at least the big last battle we saw was with Steppenwolf. I can't imagine it's going to go that much further into the story, even if we get to see Darkseid. I don't know. It's a weird thing, because like I'd love to know what this 5-picture deal what happens, but I want and I'm down for that. Like it's really interesting. It's like edit undo for movies to be like, all right, nobody liked that version. Here's the version that we meant to tell you about, and now we're going to continue. Right. Like that would be neat, but it's interesting.
Well, you know, I don't know exactly what the plan is, you know, and I don't think they want to announce everything right now.
I don't think it would be, I think they would it would be like really smart on HBO Max's part to convince them to announce Justice League 2 or whatever right before this comes out and say that it's a sequel to what's coming out on HBO Max, you know?
Yeah.
If they could pull that off and everyone's like, oh my gosh, this thing's real. This isn't just for some nuts that really want the Snyder Cut. This is the new thing. This is the new movie.
Yeah. Well, one of the interesting things about this though is that for the people who've been following Snyder for all these years and have heard him speak, his story has a specific ending.
Right.
So, and he said recently on Beyond the Trailer with Grace Randolph, he was talking about how this movie was going to be, or because she asked about continuity and how it was going to tie into the DCEU as it is. And he seemed to lean in the camp of, it's kind of a separate thing. They can do whatever they want to do with their version of Justice League that was released theatrically. And he's going to do his thing and he's going to release it. You know, it's going to be what he wanted it to be. And, you know, that works with the multiverse as it is.
Right.
Now, you know, Aquaman, Jason Momoa and James Wan came out and said definitively that Aquaman picks up after Snyder's cut.
Weird.
Yeah.
That movie you saw picks up after that other movie that you couldn't have seen.
Right. So I'm wondering if, you know, there's not like a situation where, you know, at the end of all this, we're going to be able to say, well, there's room for both somehow.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, eventually, if you're going to have stories continue and have... if you're going to have a contiguous universe and actions have consequences, then you're going to have to say which cut is which, or like which cut is the real cut, or like which cut.
Well,
is
they're
the
both
one...
the real cut because they're leaning into the multiverse. Everything is real.
Sure, but when you have a character make a decision in like four movies from now, and they're talking about what happened, which version mm-hmm. are they going with? You know, I think they're going to have to make that decision, and I think they'll probably wait to see how this does. Honestly, that's. Yeah. If I were them, I would do that. I'd wait to see it. Are millions and millions of people going to watch this one, or is it going to flop? You know, if it flops and only the big DC heads go watch it, it's going to be like, well, I guess we're just done with that version of Justice League for now. But if this does, you know, drives tons of HBO Max subscribers and they're like, okay, lots of people wanted this. We're going to do more.
And, you know, we'll see. But,
yeah.
You know, the numbers are looking good. You know, just since it released this afternoon, the official HBO Max trailer has, you know, almost 1.2 million views.
Right.
And, you know, that other people put it out as well, you know, so, and that has hundreds of thousands of views. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
So
that sounds awesome.
We'll see. And I think everybody wants a good Justice League movie, and some people are just not going to be down with Zack Snyder and what he's doing. But I think that's just, you know, as we've talked about, it's systematic is of DC, of the DC fandom as it is. You know, we've had over 50 years of television and TV shows with these characters, and some people are just going to be attached to their shit, you know? So,
yeah.
But that's one of the things I like about the multiverse. You know, if you're just like, Keaton was better. Well, guess what? Keaton's going to be hanging out with Affleck in the next movie.
Yeah. I love the multiverse, obviously.
I do too.
I love that it can happen. But I do like what I like about these stories is and why comics make. So it's what makes comics great to me. And clearly comics change universes all the time. They reboot things all the time. And it's kind of essential to the idea of these characters moving forward. But I do like the idea that in this movie, I mean, you know, and I'm the Marvel guy over here, and I love the idea that Captain America can say, "Pugging, you know, I could do this all day," and then 10 movies later say, "I can do this all day." And you're like, that's the same guy saying the same thing because he remembers just like I do. You know what I mean? Like, so
yeah.
I would like to know, you know, not before I'm going to watch it. I'm down. But like I, you know, for future movies, I'd like to know which characters my mind is watching, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I get it.
Let's get to this next movie because we said we were going to get on and do a 20-minute episode. We're
I knew that was a damn lot.
I thought we could do it. I thought we could do it.
You always do. by the way, this next one is The Batman, the Matt Reeves. Now look, this is, they confirmed it. This is a separate universe. This is not tied to the DCEU. It only tangentially through the multiverse, I would imagine.
Right.
But this is Matt Reeves of the most recent Planet of the Apes movies of, you know, Let the Right One In. This is Matt Reeves doing his take on Batman. And you know, the production, he did stress this before he showed it. The production was interrupted. He was maybe 25% of the way through before COVID hit and they had to shut down. They're about to start back up. But this is what he's got, and I'm ready to watch that when you're ready.
Awesome, me too. Let's do it.
Cool.
Man, I am so excited for the new Crow movie. It looks so
good. That's
cool,
man. What did you think of the Batman?
No, that last shot when he's like got the mascara on his eyes and his hair's all disheveled. It looks so much like it's a sequel to The Crow. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. Like I sounded like I was making fun of it. I'm really not. I think this looks like maybe the best Batman movie I've ever seen. Like I'm the most like Batman of anything I have ever like freaking seen. This looks really, really exactly what I want out of Batman.
Yeah, I would say that about BVS, but I was damned excited about this, and I still am.
Yeah, I love Batfleck's I love Batfleck. I really, really do.
Yeah,
and this looked better to me. This looks better to me than Batfleck. Like I like Batfleck as like he's a really cool Batman. But like this looks like this Batman has to me more pathos, and like there's some really iconic shots in this. It looks like to me a fusion of what we get from like the Justice League Batman, BVS Batman, and like the Nolan movies. And kind of video games as well, like the Arkham games. Like this feels like a fusion of all that's the good stuff from all those things. And I'm here. I'm so here for this, man.
Yeah. And here's what I'm liking a lot. And, you know, like one of the things I loved about Affleck Batman is this is a guy that's nearing the end of his career and he's flawed, deeply flawed. And he's broken and he's been completely torn down by everything. By promises that couldn't be kept, and you know, by good people, good men that he knew and loved, and who turned their back on him and betrayed him. And we have a Batman who's 2 years into his crusade, and he's deeply flawed,
right?
And he's still trying to figure out who he is. And
I like they're finally catching on that Batman's kind of broken.
Batman is always broken. Yeah. Like it's fantastic. Like, yes, Batman is broken. I think, you know, and yeah, I mean, I guess in the Nolan movies, he was just kind of a dick who kept cock blocking his buddies, but and looking for a way out. We've heard, we keep hearing that this Batman movie is supposed to be set in the 90s. If that's true, honestly, all the Crow aesthetic really makes sense.
Yeah.
The Nirvana song really makes sense.
Yes.
It feels very, you know,
it looks like all that stuff I said, those three movies I said, it looks like the production quality and cinematography of a Nolan movie with the Batman fighting of the Batfleck. And then it seems like sort of the ground, like story nature of the video games, but then the like sort of aesthetic of the Crow, like the emotionality of the Crow, and just looks really freaking good.
Yeah. But that, you know, that red, then the Batman logo, like just like the shots, like of like the quick shots of red with that Batman mask. I don't know if you've really looked at the Batman mask.
Not closely.
Dude, it looks like the Adam West stitching.
Oh, wow. I do see that. Yeah.
And like the Batmobile is a total muscle car. It looks like a modern version, a little bit like a modern version of the 60s mobile. And we know that Matt Reeves grew up on 66. Like that's his like heart and shit.
No, so, this is such a, this seems like a love letter to lots of different Batman.
It feels like it. And I'm so down
for
it.
And this is in 2021. This is next year. Do we know when?
Yeah. No, because it's still, you know, they're about to come back. So to start shooting again with new, COVID, you know, precautions and stuff, everything's been kind of pushed back. But
yeah.
Did you recognize the Penguin?
No, I knew it's, I see him now. Yeah. I just saw him. I forget his name. Say his name. What's the guy's name?
It's Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. Yes, that's right.
And they like put him in like a fat suit. He doesn't even look like him to me.
Did they, or did he didn't gain, the weight?
He didn't. I just saw him on Ellen.
Gotcha. So these guys, man, they go up and down.
I mean, he's a little,
for Batman
he's
movies.
A little thick. He's a little thick, but
right.
You know, I think they put some prosthetics on him.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
He's definitely got a lot of hair.
So far of the trailers we've watched, I'm most excited for that one. by like a good measure. Well, I don't know. Yeah, that Jason Gunn.
James Gunn.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. That James Gunn. Suicide Squad looks freaking good, but this. Yeah. This looks like a piece of art that like might rival some of the best Batman movies just based on this trailer. Like it looks really, really freaking good.
Yeah, dude. I mean, we're getting the Penguin. We're getting like John Turturro as Don Falcone. Like,
John, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We're getting freaking, Paul Dano as the Riddler. Colin Farrell as the Penguin. We've heard rumors that Joker might be in this thing. We don't know. Not for real. But there's apparently going to be a whole raft of villains in this thing.
That's awesome. Yeah, dude, this looks super rad. And are we thinking Joker? Like, there's a lot of question marks in the trailer.
I'm pretty sure the Riddler is the main villain.
That's what I meant. The Riddler. Gosh, I just said the Joker, didn't I? Man, take my nerd card away. I said Jason Gunn and then the Joker for the question marks, like, within the same 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay.
So, yeah, that's cool. But with the faces missing, that's more of a Hush thing, right? The one guy's face is missing, it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, so that made me think it wasn't the Riddler.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the Riddler or he might just be, like, covering his face because of security cameras. Who knows, man? Who knows?
Yeah.
Mm. That might be just a security tactic. Man,
I'm jealous. You guys have so much to talk about and to like dig deep into because there's so much stuff here. So I'm really jealous of what you guys cast is going to be like this week and in the coming weeks. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And we've had a few people who were like, you know, kind of not even watching this Batman trailer going like, oh, I'm going to watch the real Batman on the Snyder Cut. And I'm like, dude, you're still not getting it, y'all. Come on.
Yeah, just enjoy the movies because they're making.
I feel really bad about saying this. I am way more excited right now about this Batman trailer than I am Snyder Cut. Snyder Cut's like close second, really.
Yeah.
It really
is. Well, it's also, as much as I want to see the Snyder Cut, and like, it's hard to be super excited about a movie that is you've seen a lot of, you know, even if they changed 25% of the movie or 50% of the movie, you're still going to see a movie where you've seen 50% of the scenes, you know?
Well, I think we haven't seen 50%. Apparently there's like 75% of this thing we haven't even seen.
Wow. That much. Yeah. Eh?
I've been hearing from anywhere between 10 and 20% really of stuff that Snyder had still in that movie.
Wow, that's
it. Was enough that Whedon took him. It was enough that Whedon took it to arbitration and got his name in the writing credits.
Wow.
So there's that, but also, you know, Snyder has been teasing stuff for so long. We have seen at least some version of what it was gonna be. Not really, but there's just so much we've been kind of with, and this is the first time we've really seen anything of the Batman. So this is bright and shiny and new, and Snyder Cut is the stalwart thing that we've been hoping for so long. So
it's hard to even compare those two desires.
Yeah, they're apples and oranges, man. And
why can't fruit be compared? Know,
I am so excited about this thing. Like I've probably watched this Batman trailer 7 or 8 times. I was just watching it on a loop for the first like few, you know, several times. And I've watched the Snyder Cut one like 4 or 5 times. And I'm going to go back and forth because on this last run of watching the Snyder Cut, I was just like noticing other things that I hadn't seen before. I was like, oh.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'm really so
excited.
I don't know if you guys do this. Something we do, and it's super exhaustive, and you guys could probably take weeks to do this. Something we do whenever there's a new trailer out, if we have enough time, we go through shot by shot and talk about every shot from the new trailer. And it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll just take, like, 40 minutes and bear down on a 30-second trailer.
Yeah. There's no way I'm going to do that with anything Snyder makes. Because, like, you try and then you wind up looking like an idiot because, like, a month later he starts talking about it on Vero and it's like, this shot was composed to reference a Renaissance painting that indicated the crucifixion.
Nah,
and
I'm
like,
you guys,
what are you talking about?
You guys got to stop worrying about seeming like idiots. We don't mind that over on the MCU cast.
No, it's just, I know. And I really don't mind. I really don't mind looking like an idiot as far as that's concerned, because a lot of that stuff is just, it is like you say, it's so exhaustive. It's really cool when he comes out and says like, oh yeah, by the way, if you didn't catch it, this, and you're like, oh shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Well, okay. We have gone way long, but we got to get to what everybody came here for.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. Oh, sure. the entire internet wants to know what I think about the new Arkham trailer.
Okay, wait, hold on. Before we get off the Batman completely.
Okay.
Can I just say, I'm also totally stoked that Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman. She looks like she's doing a great job here. I was really excited to see the little glimpse of her that we got here. I love Jeffrey Wright. I'm really excited about him being Gordon.
Yes, me too.
I'm beaming.
Everything in this looks amazing. There's not a thing in this Batman movie that I'm another thing I don't want. And including my favorite shot in the whole thing was there's a man who like crashes into a bank with his car. He gets out. It looks like he's got like suicide vest on, and it says for the Batman on his chest, I think, or to the Batman or something like that.
Yeah.
And I just freaking love the shot of everyone running from the chaos and Bruce Wayne just staring at the guy like with that Batman look on in his eyes like that.
Oh yeah.
That's what made me think of just like, I don't know. That's just that's a classic shot already. Like
it, and you know what it made me think trailer. Of? You might not like it, but what it made me think of is just like that opening of BVS when like Zod and Superman are like taking down the freaking city. Buildings are crumbling. There's a cloud of death and people are running and just.
And he's protecting and the little girl. And he's just, going towards chaos.
Yeah. He's just running straight into that cloud. Like, oh, that's Batman.
Yeah, for sure. Like, no, just 100%.
Oh my god!
I don't mind that. I'll agree to that. All right, let's get on these last two trailers, which are this one is for Batman Gotham Knights, right?
This is the video game.
I will be playing this immediately when it's out, and I will be playing it on Twitch, and I will be playing it too much, and it's going to be a problem. This is going to be a problem. I can already tell before I watch it. Let's watch it.
Awesome. First one's free, man.
Well, that looks like it's picking up directly after Arkham Knight, and it's Arkham Knights. It's got a real aliens vibe there. That looks awesome. That looks absolutely awesome. I will be wasting so much of my life playing that game.
And yeah, during the panel, they actually showed a bunch of gameplay, and I mean, it was like Batgirl riding around on the Batcycle, and I mean, there was like co-op play, like
running. Oh, really? Co-op within the characters, or did it show co-op for two different players to play together?
I think both. Like you can run around. But I'm thinking about two players, like, because it had like, she was running around, and then you had like a little thing that said like Robin is 24 meters away, and then he was like showed up.
Yeah.
And well, that would, you guys are like fighting people together, but it looks to be the same engine.
Okay. Yeah. They did that a little bit in the previous game, but they didn't actually have co-op play. They just had like where you could have your characters play together, but like that may have changed, and I hope it has. Like, I definitely would play this online with friends. Like, I am a huge Arkham fan. I've played all of these games, most of them to 100%, like every secret, everything, because I just freaking love these games. This is going to make me do it again. I'm going to have to go back and play them all over again, because I did that for, I think, every version so far. I've gone back and started over and played them through, because I just freaking love the story.
Yeah.
I love the world. It's the most fun video game I've ever played.
Well, I mean, this is probably going to be closer to Arkham Origin.
Is Montreal doing this one?
Montreal's doing Gotham Knights.
Okay.
Because Rocksteady's working on the next one,
which is Suicide Squad,
Kill the Justice League.
Let's listen. Let's watch it.
All right,
man. So this is the Rocksteady one. I didn't expect that. I was I get it. I get why Rocksteady, having done as many of the Batman ones they've done, they might want to break out and do something else, establish something new. But yeah, can't believe there's two of these games coming out.
And for the Suicide Squad, they said that this was going to be co-op, and you were also going to be able to play single player and just like switch between the squad members and do whatever.
Okay. Oh, and let me just say, if you have not watched these trailers, the story of Arkham Knights is Batman has died. And it's now
Gotham Knights.
Sorry, Gotham Knights. I wonder if they'll start a whole Gotham thing now. Now they're doing all the Arkham stuff. Now they'll do Gotham. Anyway, the Arkham Knight did it again.
Dude, they should do Batman Gotham Days and have Sentry. Oh, or not Sentry. Signal. Signal. Not Sentry. That's Marvel. Signal.
I don't know who that is.
He's a sidekick of Batman's that Snyder and. Snyder and Capullo did, and he's basically the Batman of the day. Like, he's got like a yellow suit, yellow and black is primarily yellow, but he's basically Batman of the day. That's neat. The Signal.
Neat.
I
like it. I really, really would like to play a lot of this, but anyway, yeah. So it's his four sort of progenies that are taking over for his battle in his stead. So like,
right.
It's a Robin, Nightwing, Red Hood, and Batgirl. Yeah,
Batgirl. Yeah,
and yeah, just the I don't know. Part of me loves that idea because it'll be more varied and interesting. But I in the past I haven't loved switching between characters because a lot of times the characters feel slightly different and like
right.
The timing on some of the times are different, and I'm not good at learning lots of different timings, yeah. So I tend to like to stick to one. But like, for storytelling purposes, I think this will be really cool because you'll be able to tell different parts of the world and all that stuff. Anyway, let's watch Suicide Squad. I'm now because this is Rocksteady. I'm even more excited about this one.
Oh yeah, it looks great.
Here we go. In slum, national, underground, thunderpound. When I stomp the ground like a million elephants and silverback orangutans, you can't stop the train. Who wants them? Don't come. Sorry, I really love Bombs Over Baghdad. And as soon as that hit, that dropped in the trailer, I was in, man. More so than I was already in. So, okay, there's no gameplay in this. This is just an animation. So it tells us almost nothing about the game, but it's from Rocksteady in the world.
Yeah.
And this is in the world of Arkham?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is in the world of Arkham. It is, as I understand it, they are using the same basic engine, but like you'll be able to switch between Harley. You'll be able to go to, you know, Deadshot running around, jetpacking all over the place and killing people, flying around, shooting them.
Yeah.
You can do Boomerang. And each one of them has fairly drastically different, move sets and fighting styles and stuff. So.
Wow, dude.
I hope it pans out the way they're saying.
Yeah, me too. And, it's, you know, just the vibe of this is so much different than the Arkham games. It's obviously more comedic. And first off, seeing the Rocksteady logo and then it, you know, proceeding to a daytime shot, you know, I don't even know what that's. I've never seen that before.
But, you know, to be fair, you know, as far as the comedy tone, Joker was pretty damn funny.
Oh, Joker was really funny, but like
in not, all of those games.
Not like this. This is a lot more comedy stylings are a lot more silly. I mean, you know, they're just not as, not that the Joker's not silly, but everything the Joker says that is silly, and it often is very silly, it always has an undertone of murder. In those games, like he'll say the silliest thing, but it's always creepy because you know who he is and what he wants to do to you. These characters seem like they, you know, they're all bad guys, but they all are, you know, sort of lighthearted. They don't feel murderous necessarily.
Yeah.
In the same way. None of these guys feel creepy. And Harley feels super creepy. And yeah, just Suicide Squad kills the Justice League. Like what? That's insane. And that's the whole thrust of this trailer is them trying to figure out who their target is. And they realize it's Superman. And then that's great. That's really, really fun.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep. I'm definitely on board. I look forward to seeing more. I don't know if there's a gameplay trailer yet.
There's not.
Okay. Yeah. So this feels very much like an animation, and as an animation, it works really, really well. Gets me excited. And I'm assuming this one's further away than the other. Gotham Knights.
Yeah.
Cool. Man, why did they have to name that movie, that game Gotham Knights? Like, I'm always going to call it Arkham Knights, and it's going to be a problem. It's like really confusing naming conventions to be like Arkham Knight. The next one is going to be called Gotham Knights.
Uh-huh.
I can't get it right. I'm not going to get it right. I'm trying to say it's confusing and I can't say it. What are Boomerang's powers in this? It looks like he can throw his boomerang and teleport to where it lands.
I mean, I think he just runs around and jumps.
That's not what it looks like in this trailer. He throws his boomerang and then there's like a purple mist and he like lands wherever his boomerang lands. It looks like a part of his power set.
Oh, I think that was just like showing the stream of where his boomerangs are going, but.
I don't know. The very last thing that happens after they fight, they go down and fight all those guys. They land back on the rooftop. They all land and then he seems to teleport into the rooftop. It appears like that's something they're doing. I don't know. It'll just be interesting to see the larger, grander world of the Justice League in the Arkham universe, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I'm definitely interested in that. Like, I've been wanting a Superman game for years.
Yeah, they've tried them. They have not worked.
Some of them have. Like, Shadows of Apocalypse was actually pretty good. Really? That was an older one.
Okay. I know they tried a few years ago, and it was just hard to fly, and it wasn't a very good game. But, I'm sure there's been good ones. I'm sure there's been interesting things.
There hasn't been a lot of them, but there was one that was passable, and I felt like it was... Well, you know what? Justice League Heroes on PS2 was actually pretty good.
Justice League Heroes. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, dude... DC is looking fucking sweet. It's looking really cool. A lot of cool stuff coming down the pike. And thank you very much for letting me come on and talk about all these different trailers.
Yeah, I'm looking at this thing. It does look like he's running really fast. He's not teleporting, but he's running really fast.
Possibly. It definitely looks like he's running faster than is humanly possible. He's moving faster than humanly possible.
Which it sort of just looks like he's doing like really fast parkour, but they're also like when they show him doing it, they're slowing down everything else.
Mm.
So I don't know what that's supposed to.
Looks like some sort of teleportation. I don't know. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but anyway.
Yeah, but yeah, man. You're welcome for having. Thanks for coming on.
Of course, man. Of course.
You know I don't know how to say these things.
Oh yeah, man. Well, thanks for having me, and If you guys are interested in my stuff, I do the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast every week. We just finished up our S.H.I.E.L.D. watch and getting ready to do our run of Black Widow and all that stuff. So please come check out our show and all the other shows on Stranded Panda. We do a lot of different stuff. We're covering Lovecraft Country right now on PandaVision. Have you heard about Lovecraft Country?
I've heard of it, but I haven't really paid any attention to it.
Dude, it's freaking awesome. It's really freaking good. That's kind of like the current thing we're covering, and I'm really, really loving that.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
You and I do Star Trek Universe podcast together.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun. We've been doing Lower Decks.
Yeah, if you enjoy this dynamic, that's where you need to go, Star Trek Universe podcast.
That's right. We've only known each other since we were five.
Yeah.
We should have chemistry.
No, but
I don't know why it never developed.
No, never did. Never did. All right. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for having me for real. And we'll be back.
Thanks for being here.
Hopefully we'll come back. I really would like to come back sometime to talk about all these DC things because this is
maybe
getting exciting. Getting some exciting stuff coming down the pike.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it pike or pipe?
I don't know. I'm gonna write.
I've heard both.
I don't know. Coming down the pike, according to,
All right.
Original phrase "down the pike" means in the course of events, or more recently, in the future. Pike.
Yeah, I've heard pike, and then there's an extraordinary amount of people I've heard say pipe. And I'm like, well, which one was first?
Pike.
And then I just forget to look
pike
it up.
Pike here is short for turnpike, and the phrase refers to metaphorically in something coming from future along the road.
Okay. Well, I mean, that makes sense.
According to Google.
But you could see how pipe would make sense, too.
Oh, yeah. And what's really funny is that when you Google it, it says coming down the pike. Oh, actually, the article is coming down the pike versus down the pipe. And it's a picture of Mario going down a pipe, but it says that it's pike. So who knows? Maybe they both get used, like you said.
Maybe it's going down on the pipe.
I can neither confirm nor deny knowing what you're talking about.
I think you just did.
I can. I
don't know which one.
Who knows?
You did one of those. You confirmed or denied one of them. You did something.
Yeah, that's the trickiness of that phrase, man. It's a funny. I heard a podcast once on that phrase. Like, they literally came. There was a podcast on, like, I think it was Radiolab. And they were talking about the idea that, like, the first time that phrase was ever thought of and how it became this, like, use all case for, like, getting out of having to say anything. I can neither confirm nor deny that. It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Our government is a shadow organization. It's all broken. All right. Let's talk to you soon, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
Peace out, brother.
Later, man. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. That wraps up episode 610. Thank you to the patrons. And if you have any questions you'd like me and Jason to answer when we record on Monday night, get those to us immediately on Twitter at DC On Screen, dconscreen@gmail.com, or find us at facebook.com/group/DC On Screen Podcast. Until next time, drink your unsweetened vanilla almond milk, wash your hands, wear your masks, and always keep some DC on your screen. Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC On Screen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.dv.